Hello and welcome to the penultimate episode of Sunday Times Politics Weekly for 2019. I hope you all still have your heads about you. It is December after all. So then let me extend another greeting then to all of you who are drinking at midday, sitting on a beach somewhere and streaming into this podcast, or like us who are still like really hard at work in December. Now this week we're discussing the mess that is South African Airways and whether the embattled airline will get a last bailout to keep it in the skies. Then we're going to be taking a deep dive into mayoral issues in Johannesburg and Tshwane, asking the pertinent question, do coalition governments work?
This aircon is racist.
I've never, ever been a spy.
Can the VBS bank loot?
The problem is that pinky.
I'll never subject myself to whiteness.
Order!
I'm listening.
Can you have consistency, Honorable Chair?
Corruption was an Olympic sport. They will always win gold.
This is not a shape.
Sergeant at arms, can you please come in?
Point of order.
Now, let's get straight into it. Now, SAA has last made a profit in 2011. Damn, I was back at still in university at the time, probably.
Some of us were running in the streets behind Julius Malema.
I know. And he makes us feel old, this guy.
The thing is, since they've turned their profit, there's been so many attempts to turn around and it's all failed. But while Public Enterprises Minister Praveen Gordhan has said that the airline will undergo a radical restructuring, and I quote him there, to ensure some sort of sustainability, Finance Minister Tito Mboweni's preference is for the airline to be shut down completely. And that's where the battle line over SAA is sort of being drawn. We have to look at these arguments from Praveen Gordhan and from Tito Mboweni just through the numbers here. So I did some research, and SAA's liabilities are sitting at about 40 billion rand if it's liquidated. And at the same time, it will only be able to make about 5 billion from selling off its assets. So there's that massive gap between its liabilities and its assets. Now, Treasury, or us the taxpayer, will have to settle about 15 billion rand in bank debt and creditor guarantees prior to the airline being shut down in order to avoid the sort of possibilities of cross defaults from Treasury on other loans. Now, Mboweni says that the country cannot afford to service this debt, especially when SAA wants a 2 billion rand bailout immediately to pay salaries. Now, the argument here then is, why are we trying to save a parastatal that has a 5.4 billion rand net loss in the last financial year and is expected to make the same kinds of losses this year? Now, the question is, should government bite the bullet, sell SAA now, pay off its guarantees and move on? Or should it continue to bail out SAA, restructure it and whatnot, and wait and hope for it to again be profit-making someday?
No one is going to buy SAA. There's not one corporate entity that's going to look at this airline and say, yes, I can turn things around. The best case scenario is the government will have to pay someone to take over this bankrupt piece of nothing, right?
Yeah.
When we talk about SAA, I don't understand why we don't say the bankrupt state-owned airline. It is completely and utterly bankrupt. A company like this should not be giving staff members 6% increases. There are profitable companies, banks in this country who are making tons of money are not giving employees 6% increase. You're taking from the taxpayer to give people, and you talk about it's a privileged thing to say, you know, we need to save SAA jobs. Of course you need to save SAA jobs. But what about the millions of unemployed people that can benefit from the state, but instead that billions of rands are pumped every year into inefficiency at SAA? I don't think that SAA can be solved. It is too late.
I agree with Kwanita's analysis. In fact, I don't really care what happens to SAA. They can sell the thing, they can shut it down. I agree with Tito wanting to shut it down. I agree with everyone who says it must be privatized, because really, it's untenable for us as taxpayers to continue financing what to me is a privilege, by the way.
Can I jump in here?
Yes.
It's not a privatization debate because who is going to buy a bankrupt?
Yeah, no, but that's what I'm saying. As I said, I don't care what happens. If it can be privatized, privatize the thing. If it can be shut down, shut it down. As long as we will be able to save money that is being thrown into this bottomless pit that SAA has become over the years, at the expense of the taxpayers, at the expense of everyone else in the country, there are people who need jobs, there are people who need social services who are not benefiting from the state, and that money is being thrown into this bottomless pit. And on the issue of it being a privileged service anyway, it doesn't affect me. I barely fly on my own. I fly, yeah, of course, the company when it pays for me. Yeah, it's a privilege, you know. It's expensive anyway. In fact, now you can check the prices of SAA flights from here to Cape Town. I doubt very few of us in this room. Yeah, I don't know people sell that rate. Yeah, I'm sure one or two caterers here can afford it, but yeah, that doesn't include me, you know. So really, that's my position. I agree with Tito. I think I've listened to his argument of why he's arguing for the shutdown, and I think he makes economic sense in that regard. So I think for now, for me, that is one argument that makes sense in terms of how we should proceed as far as SAA is concerned. I'm sure I think Abiyo doesn't agree with me.
Why wouldn't I agree? Then when SAA is shut down, do we then do what with the Mango?
So the way to do it, many people have advised, is that you separate SAA from Mango and Air Lick, and you unbundle it if you must, right? Because Mango is quite profitable. Air Lick is not profitable, but you need Air Lick because Air Lick services routes that nobody else services, yeah. Right? So you keep Air Lick, you keep that, but what you do is then you inject a private equity into that model. The way SAA is at the moment, that will not work, right? So what happens is they cancel routes ad hoc because now it's not profitable, right? So for example, Johannesburg Hong Kong has been shut down for this few weeks because nobody's buying it, and then even the one or two people that were going to buy tickets can't buy tickets now. So it's really these conversations that we're having now, and that NUMSA is provoking now, are conversations that should have been had 10 years ago, 5 years ago, when there was something to save, when there were still tickets being sold, when it still made sense. Globally, the aviation industry is in a mess. Nobody's making money. Not, you know, with the exception of a few, people are making money, but generally it's a mess. So there's no investor sitting here and waiting, you know, to say, oh, when will government privatize? That's not the discussion now. So the discussion is, Shut the building down. Decide what you do with your assets. You need to pay off your debt. Mango can be still profitable and give resources back to the state. You put you invest your energy in Mango, and then market share has been overtaken by your Fly SAF Airs and your Com Airs as well. So what you do is you focus on that. You focus on your Air Lick business if you must have some sort of carrier. But SAA as it is, the problem with doing that is that it's that old argument, and Malusi Gigaba used to make this argument before when he was public enterprises minister about it's in the national interest to have a national carrier, right? And that you need it and you know what happens now when other corporate entities, you can't, you know, control the market. And who is SAA flying? We are the privileged few that earn salaries and we can't afford SAA.
It's just a vanity project.
It's a vanity project. And then you force the state to buy tickets from SAA because you need to make it work.
Look, there's been an argument that has been advanced somewhere that the sole reason why the companies that people can afford to fly with other than SAA, it's because there's SAA, and SAA is the backing of government. As soon as SAA is out of the picture, the price of flying is going to go up because there is no
benchmark. Yeah, yeah.
So if Fly SA Fair now is offering you cheaper tickets, it's doing so just because they are forced by the markets, and there being SAA is the only reason they are able to do that.
Then,
as soon as you shut down SAA, the people who must fly anyway, the MPs who must fly, will then be the market for those people.
But it
would mean that if there is no government participation in that sector, it would be very
to regulate.
No. To be a steady competition.
So you talk about when Telkom was privatized. Yes, I mean.
Yeah, Telkom got. Imagine if Telkom wasn't privatized at that time, and when they were introducing.
So we must put 5 billion a year to so that MPs can pay 500 and so we can. Pay.
No. What I'm saying is, I'm not an aviation expert. First of all,
right.
Secondly,
you're a DA expert.
No man, if you look at the bus services that is being offered. You've got Translux and Greyhound, right? Greyhound being the sort of premium, and then City to City being the one that competes with the ones that can afford, even in that market. Because they are there, ticket prices, the other competing bus companies, they can't just hike their tickets willy-nilly as they do during the peak season. Of course, Greyhound and City to City, they hike their tickets based on demand, like what SAA would do. But just because they are there, the other private players do not have the luxury to, because the only thing that they can use to outperform their competitors is the pricing.
Mm-hmm. Is it
as soon as there's no incentive for them to drop a price, because they go, people, I mean, if we have to go to Kimberley, or rather, I'm making a wrong example, if you are going to go to the State of the Nation address being sent by the company, I'm going to fly anyway, because there's no other mode of transport. So there are companies like that, they will fly their people anyway.
That's an argument that should have been made 5 or 10 years
ago. No, but I'm saying, in that debate,
possible to regulate the industry? I understand your example, because when SAA was on strike, I was looking for tickets to go to Durban sometime in December, and the Quantum of the Skies. Usually you get a ticket for like 600, and then I went online and then tickets were like 3,000.
But it's also peak time.
Yeah, but it's also peak time, but that's not their usual prices,
even at peak time.
So because SAA was not in the picture, they were the new, you know, premium sort of quantum. But is there a way to not regulate the pricing, or shut down SAA and then open up something new?
Which is what Tito is advancing. Mm-hmm. He is not saying government must completely move away from that space. He is saying this one is broken beyond repair. You can try to bring the best mechanic or whatever to fix this thing. It won't be fixed. Let's shut it down and start something new within this aviation space, wherein government will still continue. Perhaps that can address the other side of the debate that Apu was bringing, to say, when there is no government participation, it can turn out to be quite a problematic situation.
Hence I was asking about, my first question was Mango.
Mm. Yeah.
What would then be Tito's plan?
To say, okay, let us get rid of all our debt. Let's get rid of all of the dead weight. You downscale. You redesign your business to be fit for purpose.
Yes.
And then you cut your costs. You cut everything. And you make... Mango your low cost carrier of choice, and then it fits in with a public transport plan, if there is one. You get what I'm saying? To say government owned Fly Mango is going to be the cheapest. There's a few regional routes that you will keep in the for in terms of national interest. You keep Zanzibar, you keep Harare, you know, those kind of routes. But it's something completely new where all the dead weight is gone. All these pilots that earn so much of money, because of the legacy of the business, you can review all of that. And yes, you have to empathize with the, how many, 6,000 workers?
5,000
workers. But the reality of it is that people are being retrenched every day. The state cannot continue focusing its attention on a carrier that carries a few thousand rich people every year.
Look, my take on the debate about workers and them asking for increases and whatnot, I think there's been a number of opportunistic people who are using the fact that SAA is in trouble to demonize NUMSA and the demands for fair wage for any employee. If you can't afford to employ, then don't employ. Don't say, we'll give certain people a raise and others not.
And 6% to a bankrupt company.
No, no, no.
How much what's the increase you getting?
My saying, Kanita, is that people are using this instance to advance an ideological argument that historically they are opposed to unions anyway.
Yeah, I get that.
So I don't want there being a debate about a state entity and then it being, you know, people use such battles
to advance their
fight against. Because, I mean, if you are an employee, I mean, as soon as they tell you there's no increase, just because the company that you work for is doing bad, it doesn't necessarily mean, well, your problems will say, I know we will relax this year, we understand the company you work for. No.
And also,
if it's bad for the company, it's bad for the worker as well.
SA is not the only people suffering from a bad economy.
No. We are all suffering.
Yeah. So why must you borrow 2 billion rand of money that's supposed to go to the poor? These people are privileged. We are privileged to have jobs. A 6% increase compared to a person who has nothing.
Listen,
no,
they're not even supposed to get 0% interest. Yeah. What I'm saying
is that the debate about SAA. It shouldn't be about workers.
It shouldn't be about workers. But in this
the
case,
workers, wait. The debate about Eskom should always be about the management of Eskom.
SAA.
It should always be about the management of SAA and government's role in it, not about workers.
And workers. I was going to say on this, yeah, no, because AIM China, they've been cutting me off on this particular hot conversation. But I was going to say, I agree with Apio. In fact, the problems of SAA have got nothing to do with the workers. They are not a creation of the workers, and workers have a legitimate right to demand what is due to them. Inflation rises every year, everything rises every year, everyone deserves an increase, an annual increase.
In fact, they spend money so that they are able to go to work.
You know what I mean?
Try and deserve it here. Let's see what happens.
In a company that's profitable.
What I'm saying, Kanita, and this is, look, we can have those arguments about ideology and whatnot, and talk about what other companies are doing to workers. It doesn't mean it's right.
Let's take a very quick short break, and when we get back, we'll discuss this further.
Tune in to Cargumentative every Monday morning on Times Live Motoring. You can join myself, Thomas Faulkner, and my regular gang of automotive misfits as we discuss motoring news, views, and of course, have a cargument or two. That's Cargumentative only on Times Live Motoring.
Welcome back. So, we've decided to put a can on SAA because people are getting really roused up in the studio, which is great.
Which is great,
but we're also running out of time, and we want to try and get to the coalition side of things. So anyway, let's start off. The Tswane mayor, Stevens Makalape, has been placed on special leave pending the conclusion of investigations into his conduct, and opposition parties like the ANC are calling for a motion of no confidence against him. Now, this comes after the leaking of an audio clip of him and members of the mayoral committee discussing plans to fire government officials, as well as some extramural activities in between. Now, we spoke about this last week, so head over to that edition if you want to know more about that story. But then in Johannesburg, after Herman Mashaba's resignation as mayor, the EFF, ANC and DA are all fielding their own replacement candidates. Of course, there's been a fallout between the top echelons of the DA and the EFF, and things haven't exactly been gelling between the two parties. If you remember, the EFF initially lent its votes after the local government elections to the DA to unseat the ANC in Nelson Mandela Bay, Tswane, and Johannesburg, and things have sort of fallen apart since then. Now we find that those parties are fielding their own candidates for mayor in Johannesburg. Now this leaves a question. Are coalitions the future of our country, like some have suggested, or is it just a complete mess?
It's a disaster, as far as I'm concerned.
You see, the mess that is Tswane, it's just a mess, even from back when It was being run by a majority
but
government.
But you're not answering.
He's trying to protect his DA here.
But
anyway, so while it was still being run by Sputla, that thing was a mess, primarily because of political interests there, in fighting of the ANC. The government that took over, they just took it to another level. Fine, when Soli, the first scandal arose about Glade Africa and whatnot, people started blaming the municipal manager, and it was not sort of the blame was not apportioned on the mayor. Then, but that it was not working, you could see. The other person took over, Mokgalapa. Still, it's a mess. So, is it because after these two examples, I'm going to say the coalition is not working there, or just that the DA does not have capable people to deploy to Tswane for it to work?
So then talk about Nelson Mandela Bay then.
No.
Where a party that how much is the UDM?
Wait, it's not even, it doesn't even.
But you see, wait.
Is the mayor?
Yeah.
You see, when we talk about coalition governments, we must look at the one coalition government of 2006. That was the most famous. The person who was the deputy mayor there was from a party that had how many seats? ACDP. I don't know if it was 2 or 3.
Was this in the West, in Cape Town?
In Cape Town, yeah. When Helen Zille was running government. So people who are using that argument, especially from the DA, are being disingenuous. They have been into governments where the guy is the only one in council in the Western Cape. And both the DA and the ANC does not have a majority. And then the guy becomes, and the guy would go to parliament when it's time to account at legislature, and then he would swear at both the DA and the ANC in those committee meetings.
But you're not answering the question.
I'm saying is it a mess because the party that had been leading these governing coalitions is not capable? Is it a mess because they are just...
coalitions are a mess. Okay, that's a valid question.
Yeah, I think we need to differentiate between the two. We'll talk about Joburg. Johannesburg, there hasn't been really a mess created by Johannesburg in terms of having the executive intact there. It is also a creation of the politics of that party. In particular, the guy who was in charge there was running a coalition. You can agree or disagree with his coalition partners or who he picks as coalition partners, but the government was, as well as it can be functional. They were holding meetings, they were passing budgets. That's the first thing you use.
That's how you test a coalition.
But is it working? That then maybe the administration is incapable of picking up your rubbish on a daily basis. That's a whole different topic altogether. It would mean then, even if there was an outright win of the DA, those people who are there probably still wouldn't be picking up your rubbish.
Mina, I want to say coalitions don't work, and I will substantiate why they don't work. First of all, for instance, in this current situation that we have of these ones that are falling apart all over the place, because as far as I'm concerned, even his city of Joburg, it's not the best of cities under this coalition government. First of all, how do you expect parties that have got extreme ideological leanings to even begin to work together? This, for me, it was an arrangement that will only seek to benefit the elites, the political elites in these different parties, in that I give you this, you give me that. There are a lot of such discussions that happen in the background that are not necessarily, brought to the fore about you give my guy that contract, you give my guy that contract. And because you also, for your own political elitism, want to remain in power, you will bend over and give them what they want, not necessarily for the benefit of our weight.
So would you rather have different parties cutting those deals, or would you rather have the one party taking all? Because
better the devil I know than the one I don't. I don't even know who's the devil in these coalitions. If the ANC is in charge, I will know that this one who's in charge is the devil, and then therefore we it's kind of easy to come up with solutions of how. Because and if it's a one, for me, a majority rule is better than these shenanigans that we're seeing now. Because if you don't perform, if you mess up, we have only 5 years to tolerate you. After 5 years, we can decide. And I think the electorate going forward, they must really make up their minds about who they want to govern. Because, bruh, look at what has been happening up here in all these coalitions. There's no 6 months that passes by without some drama and threatening to pull out and all these kind of shenanigans.
But it's politics. It's how they work.
But you can't say that service delivery is not linked to this drama.
It is.
Lack of service delivery.
It is. But what I'm saying is, when you're saying that an outright majority is the best, then you would go and look at Butterworth. It's called Mnuma, ne?
Yes.
Yeah,
go and look at Mnuma.
That's probably
one of the worst municipalities themselves to blame. They have had an opportunity to remove the ANC in those municipalities, and they chose not to use it.
So are you saying, Abiwe, all parties are just rotted?
What I'm saying is that whenever there are politicians in power, there will always be fights. Whether it will be internal fights of the party that then affect the delivery of government, or it will be in fight across the party because they are in a coalition. What is better now for us as the residents is that it's not just one party hogging everything. At some point, one party will stand in a position of principle and say, according to ours, this is what we promised our voters. Like your party, EFF, said.
No, what is my party?
They said, wait,
you must withdraw.
You've called me a DA before, so I'm not withdrawing.
No, the EFFG.
As the chairperson of this, I mean, you need to step in.
So what I'm saying is that then there were people who voted for the EFF solely because they wanted insourcing, and it happened there.
When this term finishes,
people will have to account to their constituencies. If they were only preoccupied with getting tenders and not structuring deals that will deliver their promises of their manifesto, then they will lose out.
For me, okay, just a quick one, Zuma. So for me, for instance, in this city of Joburg that I've stayed in two different governments, the coalition and the ANC government, the city of Joburg is worse than it was under the ANC government, but it was not the best under the ANC government, but at least we knew what we were dealing with. That is my own experience.
Did the EFF not say they are not going to get into power via backdoor?
Yes.
That they needed to win things outright?
Flip-floppers, those ones.
Yeah, but why are they so up and down now, Floyd sweating there, making calls and pulling this string and that one? Kahle, what do they want out of Joburg or Pretoria?
They want to protect their interest, the exact interest that I was talking about, of the political elite that have got nothing to do with the residents of the city of Johannesburg. Because of the arrangement that they had with the outgoing mayor, now it is within their interest to make sure that whoever takes over there is someone who will protect their interest. Mm. And if the DA puts forward someone they cannot trust, they would rather fill their own.
You know what I appreciated about Mashaba is that I felt like he wasn't answerable to the DA as much as he was answerable to the coalition that he formed.
Mm.
So for me, although he was a guy that Helen pulled out from business because, you know, he has this clout and whatever, I never felt like he was pushing DA agenda. I felt like he was pushing Johannesburg agenda.
Well, to a certain degree, of course. Not entirely.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's all we have time for this week. Let's hope that there is
some resolution. Why are you this person? We're having fun here, man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We'll have even more fun next week, because next week, what we're going to be doing is we're going to do like a whole year wrap about the highs and the lows of the political arena in South Africa. So that's going to be a really good one. So stay with us for that. In the meantime, have a good week. Don't drink and drive. Don't party too hard. And if you're still working, you're almost there.
Chief, we will drink, but we will not drive. Yeah.
It's okay, guys. Catch you next week.